Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Good morning. Welcome to this second Sunday of the Advent season. And whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. There are many ways that you can learn about the ways in which we are church together. Your bulletin has announcements and calendars, and of course we will have a few announcements as well this morning. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship. And don't forget about the hospitality register. At some point during worship, please sign it and pass it on down so we can greet one another by name. The first announcement that I have, this is a common occurrence in the winter season. Make sure that before you grab your jacket, you make sure that it's yours. Last week, someone made the mistake of just grabbing a black leather jacket that may have not quite been your size and had some extra gloves stuffed in the pockets. If you happen to take that home, please hang it back up on the hangers or talk with Walt Priestley, and he'll be glad to get your jacket back to you. All right, Barb.
Good morning, everybody. This is my last announcement about the Women's Candlelight Dinner, which is Thursday, December 12th, 6 o'clock, Brookley Country Club. I wanted to remind all the women that are definitely coming to bring your ABW donations, personal items, like we do every year. We have a volunteer that's coming that evening to take everything. But what I need are boxes to put them in and put them in the car. It's going to be a great evening with 12 dulcimer players, so I will be in the fellowship hall. The tickets are $20, and it should be a fun evening. Thank you.
December 21st, we're serving another St. Joseph's meal, and I put the sign-up sheet up last week, and I checked it this morning, and lo and behold, all the volunteers for serving is filled. But that still leaves donation of food and help preparing on Friday night. So if you take a look at the board and if you have an opportunity, it's in 2 weeks. So we need the food donated by Friday the 20th, and we'll be serving on the 21st. Thank you.
Junior has. There's an overnight here at the church next Friday just for you. We're hoping you'll come.
Senior highs. There's not an overnight. No. This is for senior high Sunday school. Ignore what I've put into print. We will have class today, but it's the Advent market, so feel free to shop till 11:30, and we'll start at 11:30. Next week, we are going to have a class. It's also the congregational meeting. So we will sit in the back as a class for the beginning of the congregational meeting. And hopefully, if the meeting's not done by 12 or 11:45, Melissa, not to name names, but by 11:45, we will exit quietly and have class, a shorter class, and there will be no class on December 22nd. Thank you.
Wow, Mary, that was impressive. You got a lot of announcements I was going to make all rolled into yours. Reminder, after worship today, get out your checkbooks and your cash. A wonderful Advent alternative market set up down in the fellowship hall. That's today. And next Sunday following worship, congregational meeting. I can't make promises about time, but the purposes of that meeting are to review the 2014 budget, to take your questions and concerns, and also to nominate officers for the church. And one last announcement. If you are looking for an opportunity to do nothing, here in the sanctuary from 6 to 6:30 during Advent on Wednesday evenings, you have an opportunity to come, to rest in the silence, and to be in prayer. So please, come join us. And now let us worship God together.
Thank you.
At this time, I invite the Weber family to the communion table for the lighting of our Advent candle. Please join with me in the liturgy printed in your bulletin. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. We light two candles, illuminating God's truth. Let every heart prepare, and heaven and nature sing, so that all might embrace the joy the Christ child brings into this world, so that we might live the joy of this sacred birth.
I invite you to stand as able and join me in the call to worship. Prepare to hear the invitation of the prophet Isaiah and gather on God's holy mountain.
May we learn to embrace the joy of God's kingdom, where a child will lead us.
We await the light of joy to surround us. Lift up our voices and sing praises of this holy light.
We worship a God who forgives us over and over again when we come to God confessing our sins. Let us pray. Light of joy, we confess that we hang on tightly to our fear rather than embracing the joy of your hope. We scoff at the idea of a lamb and lion lying down together. We believe that such is impossible. It is about as unlikely as a child leading us out of the dark corners of our anxiety and selfishness. Send your spirit of forgiveness, righteousness, and mercy to rest upon us once more. We want to let go of what destroys us and hold on to the hope that grows in each of us. O God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. Though the darkness feels lifeless, do not fear. The God of hope fills us with all the joy and peace in believing. God's love is poured out for us always. May we abound in hope and embrace the joy. I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. Look, Mr. Hadley made us another letter. What's the letter? Oh, you're exactly right. Can you think of some words that begin in O? Others? That would be exactly right, and that was the one I was looking for. Good job. So, others. You know, I think that makes the O a perfect match with the J. Because Jesus came into our world to teach us how to be kind to others. Now, some of you decorated the O at the Advent Festival. Did anybody help me with this? Well, you put pictures of people from all over the world on top of the map on the O. There are people from different races and cultures, people who speak different languages and eat different foods are filling this O. And the reason is because Jesus wants us to be kind and nice to all people, not just people like us, but all people all over the world. Jesus came for all the people. So as you continue to journey through Advent, this is our second Sunday of Advent, I want you to think about ways that you can help other people. Okay, let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to teach us how to be kind to others. Amen. All right, you may go to your classes.
For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, so that by all steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and the encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Jesus Christ, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, and in order that he might confirm the promises given in the patriarchs. And, wait a minute, I turned the page here. And in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, Therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice of Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
And our second reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah. And the words found in chapter 11. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Now, some may not recognize his name, but the American folk painter, Edward Hicks, is well known for his nearly 100 paintings of these verses from Isaiah, commonly referred to as the peaceable kingdom. Hicks' many renditions of the scene vary, but always contain familiar elements: a pastoral landscape based upon his native Pennsylvania, bug-eyed lions, cows, bears, wolves, lambs, leopards, hovering stiffly yet faithfully together, plump children ensconced among the animals, including this central little child who leads them. As with many folk paintings, the canvas perspective seems flattened. The proportions are not quite realistic, but symbolic. For example, that quick-tempered lion often looms large, its violence barely tamed. And then there are the little scenes within a scene, where you find backgrounds of the peaceable kingdom tableau. Hicks likes to insert the depictions of William Penn establishing a treaty with the Native Americans. Like Penn, Hicks was a Quaker who had faith in the paradox of peace. In spite of, or perhaps due to, the violent era of the Revolutionary War that birthed them. Now, though these images are iconic, I admit that for me to really imagine the impossibility of the radical vision the prophet explores in these verses, Hicks' paintings don't really do it for me. What I need is a good marathon of the Discovery Channel's Alaska, the Last Frontier. Though I admit not to be an avid watcher of this series, it got a lot of airtime at the in-laws over Thanksgiving. And consequently, the image going through my mind as I read the scripture passage for this morning is of the scruffily bearded men candidly talking on camera. I imagine them talking about how one day, instead of hunting down the bears that eat up their cows, they would all hang out together in the front yard. But perhaps for you, when you hear these familiar words from Isaiah, the image that comes to your mind is one you forwarded in an email or posted on Facebook. A tiger nursing her piglets. The lion adopting an antelope calf. As absurd as it may sound, we hang on to the hope that we might catch even a glimpse of these paradoxical relationships found in the prophet's vision. And that, as it turns out, is exactly what it means to embrace the joy of God's kingdom here on earth in this Advent season. And this week in particular, we've been reminded of a man who not only gave us glimpses of such relationships, he embodied them. In his autobiography, The Long Walk to Freedom, Nelson Mandela tells the story of his imprisonment in 1964 for his work against apartheid in South Africa. Though he thought of himself as a political prisoner, he was sent to Robben Island, a cold, bleak, isolated outpost of the South African penal system. He was set to hard labor in a rock quarry, and when he first arrived, he did not believe that he would be spending many years there. But in 1978, 14 years later, he was still there. And in all that time, he never saw his family, and he only occasionally saw his wife, Winnie. During his time, his little daughter, Zenny, had become a young woman, engaged to a prince of Swaziland. And upon marrying him, Zenny became part of a royal family and was granted diplomatic privileges that included the right to visit her father in prison. That year, she arrived with her husband and a newborn baby girl. And because of their royal status, they met Mandela in the consulting room rather than the usual visiting area where prisoners were separated from the visitors by a partition. When Zenny saw her father, she ran and she hugged him. They had not hugged since she was just a little girl. And she put the baby in her father's arms. And Nelson writes of the paradoxical moment on that occasion. To hold a newborn baby, so soft and vulnerable, in my rough hands, hands that for too long held only picks and shovels, was a profound joy. I don't think a man was ever happier to hold a baby than I was that day. In fact, he says that he held the baby, his granddaughter, throughout the whole time of the visit. Now, Zenny and her husband were not simply paying a social call. This visit had an official purpose. It is the custom in South Africa for the grandfather to select the name for the child. And he chose the name Zazizwe, which means hope. He writes that the name had a special meaning for me, for during all my years in prison, hope never left me. And now it never would. The hope for new life in a place where there is none. A soft, vulnerable baby held by rough-hewn hands. And we know Mandela would later be released from prison, and the image that comes to my mind of the way in which he went on to embrace the joy of the unexpected, paradoxical nature of God's kingdom here on earth was when Nelson Mandela stood side by side with F.W. de Klerk, the seventh and last president of apartheid South Africa. The relevant advent aspect of this relationship is that Mandela and de Klerk were not friends. They claim to have established a working relationship, but nothing closer than that. Each has sorely struggled to overcome the suspicions that the other was merely interested in gaining political advantage through negotiations. Each held the other responsible, in part, for some of the hideous violence that has engulfed South Africa since their partnership began. And yet each man has taken an amazingly courageous step toward peace and meaningful cohabitation for their nation. Their sustained relationship persisted not only through their own mutual distrust and fear, but also through the scathing criticism of their peers, who accused them each of accommodation to the enemy. However, it is a truism of statesmanship that you do not make peace with your friends. You make it with your adversaries. A black revolutionary and a scion of the white supremacist order have together, almost alone at times, and against tremendous odds, wrenched their torn and bleeding nation onto a new path. And in order to do this, each one of these two men has had to embrace the gospel spirit of humility, forgiveness, and hope in the ultimate vision of God's future kingdom, where the peaceable kingdom will come. Those two men standing together side by side, shoulder to shoulder, represented one of the greatest paradoxical Advent stories we may see in our lifetime. And we are also reminded of Christ, who seeks to be born soft and vulnerable, held by the brutal embrace of a rough-hewn world.
the earth will receive her king into a dank and dark animal stall. And the mother of the Most High, a young unknown girl from the place where nothing good comes. A multitude of heavenly hosts proclaiming the good news of great joy to the lowly outcasts, keeping watch over their flocks by night. On that day, new life shall spring from the stump of Jesse and embody the unexpected paradox of God's kingdom here on earth. May we embrace the joy that is for all people, now and always. Amen. Gordon Chapman, our Chair of Membership and Hospitality Committee, will now introduce us to our new members.
Friends, in Christ, we are all received into the Church through the sacrament of baptism. At this time, I invite Paulette and Keith Morgan and Elaine Owlett with their sponsors to come forward as we celebrate with Paulette, Keith, and Elaine their reaffirmation of their faith and baptismal vows by becoming members of Gates Presbyterian Church. As they come, we continue to celebrate the joy.
Good morning. It's with great joy that I welcome Elaine Owlett. You've heard the expression, God works in wondrous ways. Well, we met about 10 years ago on a wine tour bus. God put us right next to each other. And as we talked and learned about each other, we found out many, many similarities. But I guess the most wondrous thing was that her husband and my husband both suffered from a very, very horrible form of cancer. We had the same doctors, and so we walked the same walk. And it was wonderful. And I said to her, if you ever come to our church, I want to be your sponsor. She's been here 8 years worshiping, and now we are together. Please welcome her. She's been a wonderful addition to our church, no stranger to most of you. She's just a fabulous woman.
Thank you. Welcome.
Keith and Paulette are neighbors in Chilai, and we are welcoming them today. They have two young sons in their 20s. They are from Minnesota, and they have blood that flows with that in them. We forgive them. We are an accepting group of people here. Vikings are one of their specialties, their favorites, and the Twins and anything. From Minnesota University. Keith came here and his wife, Keith, following a transfer for work as a chemist sales representative, and Paulette works as a secretary in the day program at Lifetime Assistance. They have worshipped with us about a year or more, and they quietly come and go, and I wish that you would get to know them.
Stay right there. It's good to stay with them. Paulette, Keith, and Elaine, becoming a member of Gates Presbyterian Church, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ, and you are also showing that you want to study, know, love, and serve Him as His disciples. Please show your purposes by answering the following questions. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And do you trust in Him? And do you intend to be His disciple, to obey His word, and to show His love? And will you be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way? And will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be?
Our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to nurture the spiritual growth of those who are baptized. Do you, the people of Gates Presbyterian Church, promise to be faithful, welcoming these new disciples into membership and living into our called identity as a beloved community of God? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Let us pray. O God, our Creator, we praise you for calling us to be a servant people and for gathering us into the body of Christ. We thank you for sending us Keith, Paulette, and Elaine. Together may we live the mind of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory forever. Amen. And may you be filled with gratitude. Let the message of Christ dwell among you in all its richness. Whatever you are doing, whether you speak or act, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Creator through Him. Welcome.
Amen. Congratulations. Welcome.
I encourage folks to greet our new members following worship as we go.
And I invite you to share your prayers of concern and your prayers of joy.
Roy Smith, my family would appreciate your prayers for my brother, Sam, who's in a
car accident 2 days ago with his daughter, who's three, and his son, who's 6 months old. Everyone's fine. His three-year-old has a fractured leg, but they'll be on the mend, all three of them, for a while now.
Sally Christensen, I have a prayer of joy about the Cameron tree out in the hallway. It's very empty. And I had heard a few people saying, you know, by the time they got to the tree, there weren't enough tags, there was nothing left. So I loaded that thing with over 80 tags this year, and they're all gone. So my prayer of joy is for the wonderful people I get to be with at this church. Thank you very much.
Amen. It's okay. You can. It's okay. And the Holy Spirit moves. It's okay.
Good morning. Peter Derry. And prayers for a young friend of ours who's going through some awful times right now medically, and after weeks and weeks still has no firm diagnosis. So she could really use some light and hope from this congregation. Thanks.
Good morning. Prayers for Ann Smith. She's a dear friend of mine and a member of this congregation. You usually see her in a wheelchair parked at the end of our pew here in the alto section. And she's in Highland Hospital right now battling problems related to her multiple sclerosis. Her legs aren't working, and she needs her legs to work. So please pray for that.
Andrea Unson. Early this school year, I became a child ambassador through World Vision, very excited to do that for them. And over Thanksgiving, I was able to have my first child adopted or sponsored. So that was such a great joy. So I just want to let all of you know out there that if you want to sponsor a child through World Vision, please come see me.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, Linda Sidori. I just want to thank all our friends for joining us for the Family Advent Festival on Friday night. We had a great time. The children were wonderful. And it was great to see generations interact with one another. It was wonderful. Thank you.
A lot of our youngest disciples that evening. Very fun. And they also bring their prayers from the various Sunday school classes in which they are participating this morning. And they ask that we pray for a baby brother who has an earache, for sharing in their joy that the Pinewood Derby is coming, and prayers with one of our Sunday school teachers who, a co-worker of his was killed in a motorcycle accident. We have prayers for grandmas and grandpas to have safe trips back to Las Vegas, for fun in bowling parties and Christmas tree decorating, and for ringing the Salvation Army bell. They also ask prayers for a friend undergoing cancer treatment and prayers to feel better. I amen that one. And lots of prayers of joy for family that is coming to visit and all the many activities they get to participate in together.
Let us pray. God of ultimate joy, you sent your sacred light into our world, empowering us to be your people. Work through us, O God. We yearn to live in a world where peace is valued by all. Yet we sadly know our own stubbornness, our own need to be right gets in the way. Help us to understand the value of the negotiated compromise, negotiated in our families, negotiated in our world. Help us, O God, to be people of peace. And this morning, we, as a congregation, bring our gifts for the men, women, and children of Cameron Community Ministries. We ask for prayers for those, we give prayers for those who receive our gifts. Our heart aches as we comprehend the debilitating poverty that's just a few miles away from us. We want to be your vehicles of change. Changing systems that promote inequality, that discourage motivation, that excludes people. Yet we confess that too often we're too busy with our own lives to explore roads of justice
for those who know only injustice. And we give you thanks that we can be part of the ministries of Cameron. We pray for the staff at Cameron, and we ask that you fill them with energy in this season where the demands are great. May they know that there are many who embrace their ministry in prayer. And this morning we come giving you thanks for the life of Nelson Mandela. His commitment to peace has changed our world. We marvel at the constant strength of his dedication despite unimaginable circumstances. We pray for his family in this time of grief, and we pray for the men and women of South Africa. Oh God, we pray that Nelson Mandela may continue to inspire the world's people to work for peace, to advocate for justice, to create change. Hear us now as we pray the prayer our Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts forward. Accept our meager gifts and guide them in the use of spreading joy, peace, and justice in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
going out, woo, we are going to go out with joy in the Spirit, going out with God, and may we indeed go, embracing the joy that God intends for each and every one of us. Go with the joy of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.